Praise the Lord. Well, good morning. Special day. So today, mourn the and experience the tribulation of childbirth. The depths of their soul was tested at that time. Is that not true? Well, speaking of depths of their soul, I'm going to open up with a scripture. This is from Luke chapter 1, and it starts at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and his holy name. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." So we can't relate to everything in this declaration, because this is Jesus' mother when she was told by the angel that she was going to be carrying our Lord. But I believe we can all say that our soul magnifies the Lord and our spirit rejoices in God our Savior. Wouldn't you agree with me? Would you stand? Let's worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We praise your name. Jesus, you are the reason that we are here, Lord. You're the reason for our life, Lord. You're the reason that we live today, Lord, and we thank you. Our soul magnifies you, Lord. Our spirits today want to rejoice in our God and our Savior, Lord. Help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, that we have a great opportunity, Lord, that this is a great responsibility, Lord, to worship you, Lord, that when we worship you, Lord, that the enemy's camp is pushed back, that his strongholds are broken down in our lives and the lives of our family. Lord, help us today to realize, Lord, that we're not just in a room singing songs, Lord, but we are creating, Lord, an atmosphere where you can move, Lord, mightily in our lives and the lives of our loved ones. And Lord, that we can receive your presence and be transformed into your image and your likeness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Exodus, when he's up on the mount with Aaron and Hur, and as long as he keeps his hands up, they win the battle. And I just feel like that's a word for somebody in the room here today, that I don't know what you guys are going through, I don't know what's going on in your guys' personal lives, but I just feel like God, he's been pressing this on my heart this morning, that some of you here just need to lift your hands in a posture of victory, in a posture of surrender, just saying, "God, the battle's yours. It's yours, God. It's out of my hands. I can't do anything on my own strength without you." So just lean into him today. Just lift your hands in worship. And through that, that's how you will gain your victory.
Jesus, Jesus, precious Lord, none on the earth nor heavens above that I have found. Tell me what moves you. Oh. hard enough to get through the rough. Oh, I need a Monday morning fix. Wanna hear you more than just one way. Show your voices in all of the Monday blues. You're in the in between, and you're my all I really need. My soul sings in the morning. Love the King and He loves me. All that I'm compelled to do is my every day of
And I raise a hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We were in the prayer room this morning, and we were just worshiping the Lord, listening to a song. It's called Praise You Through It. It's a new one by Maverick City Music, if you want to know. It's really good. But there's a line in there that just, it just wrecks me. It wrecks me. It's kind of like when you come to certain lines in goodness of God. This one says, when I look back over my life, hallelujah. Only when song seems right, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Saying, when I look back over my life, when I evaluate my past and think of God involved in my past, all I can say is hallelujah. That's why we want to raise a hallelujah right now. in the presence of our enemies. We want to raise a hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping us safe for those many years. Thank you, Lord, for the protection you've given our lives, Lord. Thank you for the healings you brought to us, Lord, when we didn't even know about it. Thank you, Lord, for the safety that we've had in certain situations and we didn't know about your angels working on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, that we got up this morning and we're here and we have life and breath. Oh, we raise a hallelujah to you, Lord.
I'm going to sleep in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder,
you're going to hear my praises
roaring up from the ashes. Hope will arise, 'cause death is defeated, the King is alive. Oh, I'm going to see in the middle of the storm. Louder.
Sometimes just to raise a hallelujah on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and yes, on Sunday. But when you're in your quiet place, when you're driving to work, don't forget to raise a hallelujah. You're living that day because of Him. You're able to go to work with the strength that you have to be able to work 10 hours, 40 hours a week, whatever it is, so that you can bring home sustenance. It's God who gave you the strength and the life to do that. Don't forget to give Him a hallelujah. Oh. And when you raise it in the presence of your enemies, they lose power in your life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll greet someone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Caden. That's awesome. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and do the heart of the house declarations. If you would stand with me. On three, one, two, three. We declare that God is building our church, that God is calling us to the basic gospel, and that He is awakening our church. That we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord. We declare that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind, and we declare that we are becoming a house of prayer for all nations. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, Lord, we declare, Lord, that we are becoming a house of prayer, Lord. Lord, it's one thing to make declarations, Lord. It's another thing to have the Holy Spirit moving in us in such a way that that takes place in our lives, Lord. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would do what you need to do in us as your people, Lord, to become a house of prayer. Lord, that you would wake us up, Lord, in the mornings, Lord, early, where we can rise up and seek you, Lord, and where that we can become praying people, Lord, that learn to have an intimate, close, deep relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would teach us how to pray. Lord, even for those of us who've been praying a long time, Lord, don't let our pride or our experiences hold us back from learning, God, what it even means to have even deeper levels of prayer with you, Lord. So we just surrender, Lord, our body into your hands and ask you, Lord, to be the one that leads and guides us and directs us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, next week. Oops, here we go. Nope, that was last week. Sorry, I didn't get that. That was last night. Yeah, there we go. Next week, we're going to be in Wixon Park. Does everyone know where Wixon Park is? If you don't, it's just as you come through Sela and you turn at City Hall. You just take a left there, and then there's the park. We've actually had barbecues there in the gazebo area. Well, we're going to be over on the other side, where what's called, it's just a stage, and there's activities that are going on this coming weekend that are called Sela Community Days. I don't know if you guys know that, but we're part of that, and we're going to have a joint church service, worship service, with about 5 or 6 other churches. So I encourage everyone not to come here next week, because nobody will be here. There'll be a sign on the door telling you to go to Wixon Park. I forgot to look at the address, but if you go and you take that, like that way that I was telling you, drive down the street and go on one of the main streets, you're going to go around the school, and there's going to be like grass parking in the back. Parking's kind of tough down there. I'm just telling you. It was last year. Those who went last year know what I mean. So you go ahead and you can park on the grass kind of behind the school, or you can park in stalls in front of the school. But try to get there as early as you can. Bring your own chair. That means like a lawn chair or something that would make it easy for you to be able to, you know, you can stand if you want. It's a grassy area, and it's an awesome time. They can bring blankets. Yep. You could just, however you want to get comfortable. There is a little bit of seating there, but it's not much. And so I would encourage you to bring your own chair, but let's participate in this as a body. Let's all be there next week. I encourage everyone to come. I'm going to be speaking for about 5 minutes. Five other pastors are going to share. There's great worship. We were there last year, and it's just a time for us to be a body of believers where we're preferring one another. We're not just, you know, one life over here doing our own thing. We're preferring the other people in the city. Amen. Amen. And if you have any questions, I'll text you with maybe some directions, and maybe I'll do a thing from the church that shows how to get to the spots I'm talking about. And then I want to thank everybody for giving. Thank you for your faithfulness and your tithes and offerings. And if you want to give, you can give up front, or you can give in the back. And you can actually give online as well. Go to onelifefamilyworship.com and click give. So praise the Lord. We don't have any children today, so no children's ministry. So we're going to go right into the Word. Oh, and I'm just going to put the mic down there. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to go right into the Word. First, we've got to do some important business. So could we have all the mothers stand, please? If you can. So praise the Lord. So we just want to bless them with a declaration. So would you extend your hands toward them? If you're by someone, you can actually lay your hands on them. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these women of God, Lord, that have been faithful, Lord, through the thick and the thin with their family, Lord, especially their children. Father, we pray right now, God, a blessing upon their lives. We pray, Lord, that the years that they have sown into others, Lord, would come back to them, Lord, and that they would be able to receive, Lord, care and love and nurturing, Lord, from their family as well. We pray, Lord, that they would be in your hands, Lord, and that they would continue to be used, Lord, for your glory. We pray, Lord, that they would would have the wisdom of God and the passion for the Lord. And Lord, that in these years you would draw them closer to you like never before. I pray for intimacy in their life, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for a thriving and vital relationship with you, Lord. I pray, God, you would bless them this day, bless them with their families. And Lord, just let them experience, God, every good and perfect thing you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. And women, when you are leaving, you can pick up a gift. It is pretty cool. It's like a water bottle for the summer. So we've done coffee mugs and stuff, so we went a little different. So, amen. Is that it? Okay, so I make sure Gay didn't have anything for me else to talk about. So, house of prayer for all nations, Isaiah 56:7. This is a good reason to remind you for house of prayer. I don't know how many of you have been able to go to a house prayer, but I highly encourage you to. We won't have none for another week. Next week we'll announce the location. And so just be knowing that when you come to a place where we're praying, that it's, and we'll see when we go through this message actually a couple times, when you're in the presence of the Lord with prayer, things can happen. The Lord can stir your heart. The Lord can cause situations to happen in your life that even open up new doors of opportunity. So I encourage everyone to please join us for house of prayer, or house prayer, if you want to call it. And then I want to remind us that this is the Power of Prayer series, and that the acronym that I haven't focused on every single week, but I want to remind you again, it's purposeful requests. That means that you're purposefully communicating to God requests that are on your heart, things that are in your life, things that you desire of the Lord for you and for others. But then you're letting that align your eternal reality. In other words, you're aligning your heart with the will of God. And the great demonstration, I think, of this scripture or this truth or this acronym is when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's asking the Lord that if there's another way, instead of going to the cross, asking the Father if there's another way to show him, reveal it to him, and then finally, ultimately, he says, not my will, but your will be done. He aligned his life with the eternal reality that he was to be the Savior of the world, even though his flesh was telling him no. Sometimes our flesh tells us things contrary to what God's will is. Do you guys know that? Sometimes our flesh is not cooperating with our spirit. And we need to be able to get into a place where our flesh, our lives can align with God's eternal reality for us. So today we're going to talk about praying women of the Bible. And there are more praying women in the Bible than you would actually think, you know, because most people think of the Bible's got just a lot of men in it. Well, believe me, there's a lot of women that were used mightily by the Lord. Now, by no means do I have them all in here. This particular graphic shows some of them, but there's actually other women. I can think of a prophetess that was during Isaiah's time, and there's been many prophetesses and many women of God that have been used mightily by the Lord. And praise God for that, right? So I'm going to talk about praying mothers. And this first one is a little bit long, but I think it really kind of sets the stage for the heart of prayer, especially for a mother's heart. We're going to be in 1 Samuel, and we're going to go through 1 through verse 20. So it's a lot of verses, so forgive me for any names I mispronounce. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuph in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph of Ephraim. Elkanah, had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. We see that that's in highlight. Hannah did not have children. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, He would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. What a sad scene that she's loved by her husband and mocked by her co-wife. Anybody seen the show Mormon's Wives? I haven't, but I know it's pretty popular because, you know, it's such an unusual situation with multiple wives for a husband. But this was taking place during these days of the judges and, you know, in the Old Testament. Duplicity of wives was something that men did. And I say this with all humility. I wouldn't even know how to have another wife. I couldn't even think of it. I mean, yeah. There we go. I was going to say it's been hard enough to learn and to be humble enough how to be, you know, the person that I meant to be to her. I don't know how I could be to multiple people. So I think they had a hard time back then, if you ask me. Going on, says here, "Why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating?" So she wasn't even eating when they would go to the temple. "Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me." Oh, that just sounds so much like a man, doesn't it? "You don't need to worry about children. You have me." Isn't that better than having 10 sons? She's like, "No, it's not better." Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Keep in mind, she's not eating as well, so she's fasting and she's praying. Eli, the priest, was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." She's saying that he's going to be a Nazarite. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound. He thought she had been drinking. I love it when God puts verses in the Bible that can put man's doctrine to shame. And this is one of them. I've heard some people say, "Well, you're not really praying unless you're speaking out loud. You're not really praying unless, you know, you can hear yourself." Has anybody ever heard that? I've heard that. Right here, this woman touched God's heart and she never uttered a sound. Her lips moved, but she never uttered a sound. You know why? Because God doesn't need to hear our voice. He hears our hearts. Even a heart whisper, he can hear. Know that your God's so big that even he knows your thoughts in prayer. I mean, your prayer in thought. I don't even know how to say it. Sometimes I've just thought a little something. I didn't make it a prayer. I just thought, oh, this would be, to myself, this would be nice. And guess what? It was nice. Whatever I was thinking happened. Anybody else? I got to tell you, it happens to me. Praise God. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." "In that case," Eli said, "go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. She touched heaven. She knew she had touched heaven. And the priest had, I don't know about you, but back then they had great power. They were in Numbers 6 declared that the priests were supposed to speak a blessing over the people. And I don't know, Eli knew the prayer, but he in that moment, he gave her the faith and confidence to believe that it had been done. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with her slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I asked the Lord for him." So this woman, this mother-to-be, caught hold of heaven in her prayers, and Samuel was a result of it. Now, if you know, after he was weaned, after he was a certain age, she took him back to the temple, and he ended up becoming really the last judge of Israel and one of the greatest prophets they ever had. He helped usher in King Saul and King David, and was mighty in the land and had a heart for God. Praise the Lord. So, women, you never know when you're praying for your children what power your prayers can do to make them into who they're going to be when they grow up. Luke 1:35-38, this is Mary again. And she has just now been visited by the angel. She's like, you know, afraid at first. The angel calms her down. It's all good. Says that he has good news for her. And he says to her, the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God never fails," or will never fail. The word of God will never fail. I think this is a good one to remember. The word of God will never fail. In other words, what the Lord speaks, what the Lord has spoken, what the Lord has told us, it will never fail. Man's words may fail. Our own thoughts sometimes may fail. Our own vows may sometimes fail, but God's word will never fail. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. So here we see Mary hearing the will of God over her life, as crazy as it was, and her prayer back was, "Let it be to me as you have said." I think sometimes in prayer, we need to listen as well, not just pray. What is the famous saying for people? We have two ears and one mouth. It's to remind us we should be listening twice as much as we talk. I think in prayer, maybe it should be four times listen as much as we talk. Because who's talking when we're listening? The one who created all. So I think it'd probably be more valuable to us to listen to him than to him listen to us. Anyway, Mary here is hearing the declaration from the angel. And keep in mind, this angel is speaking what God wants him to say. And so he's not speaking for himself. He's speaking for God. And she's hearing and she's saying, "Lord, let it be to me as you have said." Some of us need to say in our hearts, "Lord, let it be to me. I don't care how crazy your will is for my life. Let it be to me as you have said." I may not be able to even comprehend it right now. I may not be even able to think that I would have the equipping to do what you're asking me to do. But if you're asking me to do it, I know that I can do it in Jesus' name. In Matthew 15:21-28, we see a mother who is desperate. And in her desperation, she's breaking rules. Matthew 15:21-28. "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying out after us.' He answered," so he's answering her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So he's trying to tell this Canaanite woman, "Listen, woman, I'd like to help you, but I'm really sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. So I can't deal with you right now." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." She didn't listen. She's kneeling down before him. Would you think that she probably got his attention? Yeah, She's saying, you are someone very high in authority. I'm kneeling before you. I'm giving you the focus to let you know, I know that you have my answer. And he answered, it is not right. Well, the first time I read this, man, I about like dropped my dentures, and I don't wear dentures, but I was telling you, it shook me when I read this the first time. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He's calling her a dog as compared to the people of Israel. And she doesn't get offended that she's been just now called a dog. You think you would be offended if someone called you a dog? I mean, I know it's like, hey, dog, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone talking to you, calling you in a way that you're lowered in value like a dog. She doesn't get mad. She says this, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Wow, when I read her response the first time, I said, oh, wow, that was powerful. Then Jesus answered her and said, oh, woman. Now, listen, we are not getting the connotation of this. I'm just telling you. We think, oh, woman. No. If you look in your Bibles, in the Greek, it's only been used like 16 times, 20 times maybe at the most. And almost every time Jesus used it, he was speaking to the Sadducees or Pharisees, or he was correcting them. And it was like, oh, you didn't, I do not believe what you just said. In other words, it was like total shock and surprise. So he's telling her, you just blew me away with what you just said. Oh, woman, you just wrecked my world is what he's saying. I mean, you're pushing hard on me right now. That's what he's telling her. And then he says this, great is your faith. Reminds me of the centurion who says, no, he doesn't even come under my roof. He doesn't need to come to my house. Just have him speak the word because I'm a man under authority and I have people under my authority and I just speak a word and they go do it. And I know that if you just speak a word, it'll be done. Same kind of wrecking of Jesus, like thought process right here. This is, now keep in mind, Jesus is God. This is causing God to take a second moment, like, oh boy, you just got my attention. Our prayers sometimes need to get God's attention. Sometimes we need to remind God of his promises and get him to say, oh, child, yes, you're right. I did say that. Parents, have you ever had your children remind you of something that you told them? Hello? My kids used to hate this. They would ask me to promise to take them somewhere or even just to say I'll take them the next day. And I say, I can't do that. And I was very busy at the time. I worked many hours a week. And I said, I don't know if I can do that. Oh, come on, Dad. It's like, no, I can't tell you. Because if I can't be there tomorrow, we can't do it. I don't want to let you down. So I would know the next day, we can go. But I tried to be a person of my word because I wanted to make sure that when they heard my promise, I was going to be kept. But sometimes I did say things and they would remind me and I had to go, oh, yes. Is it that God needs us to push him around? No, that's not what's happening. But what's happening is our faith is building up in us to the belief to say, God, you said it. I believe it. Our faith rises and we connect with heaven. That's what this woman did. And get this, be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. I don't know where her daughter was, but whoever was with her said, whoa, this is not the same daughter I was dealing with a few minutes ago. She was demon-possessed. Who knows what she was like? She was oppressed by a demon. Instantly, she was delivered. Sometimes we read the scripture and we just don't see what's happening. She went from being just like that Gadarene man who is out of his mind, you know, frothing at the mouth, to where he's saying, Lord, let me follow you. Her heart was came alive to God. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:11, the great faith chapter. Now, this isn't necessarily saying that she was a praying woman, but I believe if someone's declared a person of faith, they must be praying. It says here, It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed God would keep his promise. That's what I'm talking about. God's made all kinds of promises in his word. The reason that a lot of us don't get to receive his promises, sorry, but we don't know them. We have to know his word. How are we going to know his promises if we don't know his word? If all of his promises are yes and amen, right? How do we receive the yes and amen to a promise that we've never heard or a promise that we haven't hid in our heart? Here's two ladies that I believe were praying women. Doesn't say they're praying with them, but they were of genuine faith. That tells me that they were significant in their prayers. This is Paul in 2 Timothy saying, I remember your genuine faith. He's saying, Timothy, I remember your genuine faith, your sincere faith, for you share that faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. Talk about a heritage. Paul's protege. How do you think grandmother Lois and mother Eunice must have felt seeing their son traveling all of Asia, all of the areas, you know, Crete, islands, all over the place, preaching the gospel of Christ? Must have been a reward for their hearts. Now let's talk a little bit about just praying women. I'm sure they were going to be sometime be a mother, but at this particular time, they were praying women, devout women of prayer. Many of you have heard the story of Esther. Esther ended up going into the king's palace as his wife after a long set of circumstances. The first Vashti, I think her name was, offended the king, and the king basically divorced her. Then they started looking the entire kingdom for a new wife for the king. And hundreds of women came and were prepared for one night with the king, and he would choose each night whether or not he was going to make that woman his wife. And I believe her name was Hadassah, right? That's her Jewish name. And Esther was the name that I think it wasn't the Persian court, but right. I just was trying to remember the kingdom at that time. It was Persia. I was wondering. Anyway, this particular night Esther went in, the king chose her. She became his wife. She became Queen Esther. Time passes, and her uncle Mordecai is interacting with someone that is next in power with the king, and he starts to just despise Mordecai. Like, I just can't handle this guy. Finds out he's a Jew, and so he gets the king to make an edict that on a certain date, all of the Jews in all of the districts of this kingdom were going to be able to be killed that day, and nobody would be charged with anything. So it was like going to be free game on the Jews. And so Mordecai sends a letter to Esther because he's in sackcloth and ashes. He's like, you know, mourning. And she says, why are you mourning? What's going on? And then he sends a letter back. This is what's going to happen. And then Esther sends the reply to Mordecai, because Mordecai says something. Listen, Esther, it's possible that, you know, that you've, you know, come into the kingdom for such a time as this. But if you don't do something, God will find a way to deliver us, but I don't know if you're going to be okay. And so Esther says this to Mordecai, go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, nights or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, she couldn't go to see the king unless he called for her. So she had to go see the king, and either he would reject her and have her killed, or he would extend his staff and come and let her come and talk to him. So I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. The good news is that the king does extend his scepter. Esther is received, and Haman ends up getting hung on the same gallows that he made for Mordecai. It's an amazing recall of God's faithfulness. There's one situation in it that you just get blown away, because Mordecai, months earlier, maybe a year or two earlier, had heard some spied over a couple of people that were conspiring to come against and rebel against the king. And he went and told, I believe he told somebody in his court, told the king, and then those people were caught. And then Mordecai was not even acknowledged hardly at the time. So the night before Mordecai is going to get hung by Haman, he ends up having the king read, the king has someone read to him some of his records. Because he has insomnia. Just perchance he had insomnia that night. And so the guy who's reading the records reads over the story of Mordecai. And he goes, I never did anything for Mordecai. So he has Haman come in. He says, Haman, what would you do to honor somebody that was like really, really amazing? And what they had done was just like astounding. You know, he's not telling him all the details. So Haman's thinking, it's got to be me. So he said, I'd have him, you know, led around on the king's own, you know, stallion and put all of the regalia of royalty on him. You know, he's describing all this stuff. And so what ends up happening is Mordecai is led around by Haman through the city. And Haman is like, you know, I'm sure he's just biting his lip and wondering, like, what's going on? And then at the same time, there's a situation going on with the king and Esther, and then Haman goes in. You've got to read it, because it's the hand of God all through it. If you want to read about, like, just things, it's not that long. Just read it, and you'll just see how God's hand can work in their lives. And obviously, if he's working in their lives, he's no respecter of person, he'll work in yours. Amen? Amen. Sorry, I get excited about the book of Esther, you can tell. Acts 1, 12, 14, we see some other women. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance half mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of James. Anybody recognize those people? Who are they? They're the disciples, soon to become apostles, but they're the disciples. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer. So these disciples are praying. But that's not all. And along with them were Mary, the mother of Jesus, and several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. And if you keep reading down into chapter 2, I believe those women were there on the day of Pentecost, and they experienced the Holy Spirit in fire. And they became part of the brand new day that the Holy Spirit brought. And we are living into this day, the age of grace. Praise God. So women, don't ever think that you're to be sold short in the kingdom of God. Great, great, great things you have done through the Lord's grace. Then Acts 16, 11, 15, I'll leave you with this story. Therefore, sailing from Troas, this is Paul, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city in the part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. This is Luke and probably Paul's accompaniment people that are with him. And on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city, to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. So they went on Saturday, on the Sabbath, out to a place by the river where people were praying. This is a prayer meeting by the river. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. What's missing in this story? We sat down and spoke to where are the men praying? Women were praying. There was a pastor, very famous in South Korea. His name was Dr. Cho. And he was known for a prayer tower. He was known for cell groups all over the city, and people from the United States went to see what he was doing. And they were like blown away. Because like 90% of his church was women. Almost all of the ministries were ran by women. And they said, well, what are you doing? He said, the women are the workers. The women are the people who are hungry for God. It really threw the people who came from the U.S. off because they weren't used to seeing this. But a mighty work of the Lord happened. So don't sell women short. They were in prayer, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her whole household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now, what's the truth in this? The truth is, like I said earlier, being in a place of prayer, sometimes doors open up that would not have happened had you not been in prayer. Had you not been in a prayer meeting. I can tell you, there's life-changing moments for my life when I was in a prayer meeting. The Lord is able to move in our lives when we're just sitting at home watching TV. He can do it. But it's a lot easier to do it when we're away from the distractions of life. When we focused on him, when we set our hearts on him, it's a lot easier for him to speak to our hearts. Last night at prayer, we were in a worship song and that Gay had started. And the night before, I had had the pleasure, opportunity of seeing her. She was getting lost in worship in this song. I was just walking through the house and she just had her hands up and she was singing to it and she was just entering into just like this place of like connection, divine connection with God, of worship. And so I really felt like the Lord was putting on my heart to just kneel down and just put my hands on her feet. This was earlier during the prayer time. And just pray for her. And so when that song started, the moment started, I knew that this was the time to do it. So it's a long song, so I did that, and I started praying for her, and she started praying for me. And it was such a powerful moment. Now, I'm not saying that never would have happened, you know, had we not been in prayer, but it was an opportunity for, like, divinity to take place, for the presence of God to be filling both of our hearts, and we were be able to minister to each other in a way that, you know, we've done it before, but it's been a long time. So I'm just here to tell you, don't neglect the gathering together. I believe that's why Paul said, don't neglect the times of coming together as believers. Don't forsake the assembling together as believers. Because why? Because God can move in those moments. It's not just in these moments, but these moments have somewhat of a greater connection. I believe that's because we're people of faith coming together. Each of us brings different parts of our faith and dynamics of what we believe God can do. And it's like the atmosphere can change. Our unbelief can be raised up with somebody else's belief. Has that ever happened to you? Has your faith ever been increased when someone else has shared a testimony? It's like, wow, I didn't know God could do that. Or I didn't know God did that for you. If he did that for you, maybe he can do that for me. See, Lydia was in a prayer meeting by a river. She didn't know what that day was going to be like. She just thought, we're just gathering God to worship God and pray. And the way it sounds is that Lydia was a Gentile. So I don't even know exactly what her framework was for God, but she worshiped God. But that prayer meeting turned into a place where her whole family was transformed. And that night, Paul the apostle stayed with her. Do you think maybe she learned a thing or two that night? I thank the Lord that we've had praying women in the Bible, but I thank the Lord that there's praying women today. There's times I woke up through the years, and we've been married now 32 years. Are we going on 32 years? It'll be 32 years in July. 94. Do the math. This is six, yeah. That's what I always do. Six, okay, it's an even year. It's okay. After a while, you just say, we've been married a long time. But there's nights that I've woken up, just rolled over, and she's not in her bed. And the next day I find out she was praying for somebody, like interceding for them, sometimes the entire evening. I thank the Lord for praying women. I thank the Lord for the grandmas that haven't been able to do anything because they're homebound and they are at home praying for their family. I know that I must have had a grandma that prayed for me. Because I went from being in the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So I'm here to tell you, women, mothers, keep praying. Don't stop praying. As Paul said, don't stop praying. Never cease praying. Pray continually. Pray all the time. Because your prayers are powerful. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are our God and we are your people. And I thank you, Lord, for your praying women of the Bible. I thank you, Lord, for the examples, Lord, of their fervency, their dedication, Lord, their never say no attitudes, Lord. Help us, Lord, to look at those examples and realize, God, that they are examples for us, Lord. You said that the word was written for our benefit, Lord. So help us, Lord, to see their lives and realize that if you did it for them, Lord, you can do it for us. And Lord, I pray right now for every woman in this house, Lord, that you would bless them this day. Continue to encourage their hearts. Continue to let them be, Lord, who you've called them to be. And Lord, if their enemy has been trying to steal, kill, and destroy your work in their lives, Lord, I just ask for deliverance to come in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the ministry of worship. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless us, Lord, as we draw near to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all. Have a great day.